hard not to cry when I see my daughter and grandson, you know, that. You know, with him being stationed in Hawaii, you know, he had to come back into the real world where we have all this cold weather. So what we've got going. Thank you for being here tonight on this Christmas Eve. You know, this is a season that worldwide, this is their number one season celebration. A lot of people don't realize that. Christmas is, for millions, the number one season, though not everybody celebrates it as they should. In this season, Christmas, not like any other celebration or holiday, is there more money, amen, time and energy given to Christmas. But we must not lose connection with the true purpose of Christmas. We cannot lose connection with the true purpose of Christmas. You heard in the video the hearts of people talking about what Christmas is, and you heard the majority of those statements were about what? About Jesus, the birth of our Savior. We cannot lose connection with that. I love what Billy Graham said about this season. He said, Christmas should be a day when our minds go back to Bethlehem, beyond the noise of our materialistic world, to hear the soft flutter of angels' wings. Would you pray with me? Father God, in the moments that we have together, I ask that you open our hearts once again in the celebration of the season to put our hearts back on center and make Christmas what it should be, a celebration of your Son, Jesus Christ. That we go back to Bethlehem and we remember what happened. And that we don't celebrate it just at Christmas, but it's our celebration each and every day. And so, Father, I ask that you open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say to us on this Christmas Eve in 2022. And I give you the praise and the honor and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin reading in Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And it says, Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were filled with fear. I want to pause here for a moment, and let's capture the moment. Let's don't read the word, let's live the word of God. I want us to think for a moment the significance of the angel coming to the shepherds. You have to understand, in that time, shepherds were the lower rung of society. And when it said they were out in the field, they were out in the field. They lived in the countryside. It was not an easy life. It was a hard life. And here you have a pitch dark night, and then an angel arrives from heaven. You have to understand that he comes from the glory of God, brings the glory of God with him, and lights up the night. When I think about them showing up, this is the reason that they were in fear. Now think about it. One moment it's dark, and the next moment it's like the sun just came up. That would get your attention. And on top of that, it's so bright. And then you see this angelic being in front of you. Would you be a little bit fearful? Maybe. Maybe? Just a little? I know there's a whole lot of us in here pretty macho, but I think I would be just a little. All of a sudden, night becomes day, and there's an angelic being in front of me, and he's getting ready to speak. And it says that they were fearful. On this Christmas Eve, we're going to go back to Bethlehem. We're going to go back to the moment of Christ's birth. And tonight we're going to look at that birth from earth's perspective and then look at it from heaven's perspective tonight. And we're going to begin with the prophetic word out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, concerning the birth of Christ, that says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Now, earth's perspective, a child is born. It is the story of a birth, but not just any kind of birth, a miraculous birth. A birth that no man could take credit for, only God. Only God could take credit for it. You're sitting in a building right now. God is still doing the miraculous. He is still doing what no man can do. You're sitting in a building that God made possible for us in the middle of COVID after 10 years of being portable in a theater. We have a sign right inside there going into the office that says, "This building is a gift from God that no man can take credit for. God gets all the glory." This is about a birth that was miraculous by the hand of God that no man can take credit for. It's a miraculous birth. Heaven's perspective was the Son is given. It is the story of a departure from heaven. Let's think about this for a moment. When I get to heaven, you're not going to talk me back. This is the Son of God decides that He loves what the Father loves and tells the Father, yes. And this is about the Son of God leaving all that heaven was to come to this earth because of you and me. It's about a Son that is given to us, who was in the most perfect place, who comes to an imperfect place, because He loves God and He loves what God loves, and that's us. We must not forget that. John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." I want to speak to the church for a moment. I've been preaching on this, and I want to remind us, as this is our last service for the year, we must, as the church, remember that we are to be about the Father's business more than our own business. That's what Jesus said. "I'm here to do the Father's will." He also said, "I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying." And we should be doing the same thing. So that means we need to be spending quality time on our face before God. Amen? We must not end this year forgetting our purpose, and that is to fulfill the will of God. Heaven's second perspective on a child is born. The Son would walk among us. He would breathe our air and live our life. We must understand that He saw what we see. He heard what we hear. He felt what we feel. He was tempted like we are tempted, yet did not sin. He heard the things that we hear. Think about that. We hear all kinds of trouble. Jesus heard trouble. You must understand and remember that the Roman rule was in place. Rome was their dictator. They were under Roman rule, oppressed by the Romans. He knows what it means to be in a place where being a Christian can be dangerous. He also saw the heartache, the pain, the suffering. He understands everything we go through. And He's compassionate and loving and caring and faithful and merciful. The Bible says that He's omnipresent always, and that He will never, ever forsake you. Jesus breathed our air and lived our life. He understands what you're going through, and He will help you through. He understands. Luke chapter 2, verse 10, "But the angel said to them," to these shepherds, "do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the town of David a Savior, who is Christ the Messiah, the Lord. Now, what was Earth's perspective on the Messiah finally showing up? The revealing of the prophecy is coming to pass. Those who recognize, understood who Jesus was. What was Earth's perspective on the Messiah? Jesus came as a baby to become a man. The people were going to put their future in the hands of this man. They were going to put all their trust in this man. But he was more than a man. He was a sacrificial lamb. And they did not see that. And we must understand in our own walk with Jesus that we have to put our trust in Jesus, not in man. I'll say that again. We need to put our trust in Jesus and not in man. As we leave this year going into 2023, we need to put our trust in the Lamb of God who gave His life for us and not in the hands of man. Trust God. They were going to trust man to deliver them. They were not going to trust God. They were going to put their future in the hands of a man. Earth's second perspective was Jesus came to be a king, to bring freedom from Roman rule. They thought He was coming with a sword. When I think about all the things that the disciples said and all the history that I've read and the documentation of the interviews that were done, you begin to start seeing that it's very easy to believe that they believed that not only would Jesus come with a sword, but Jesus would begin to gather an army like none other. And this army would be not only of human, but of supernatural beings from heaven. They expected this onslaught of an army, earthly and heavenly, would wipe out the Romans, and then they would rise up into their celebration of being the rulers. What a disappointment when they arrested Jesus and He wouldn't defend Himself. Because God was going to teach everybody that this child that was born to die for your sins so that you could have true freedom. He did not come with a sword. He came to lay His life down. Heaven's perspective, Jesus came as a baby to die as a man. Can I say this? That was His purpose for breathing on this earth. To die as a man for the sins of the world. That's why He came. Heaven's second perspective, Jesus came to bring a new kind of freedom. Let me tell you the freedom He brings. It's always in this season I am reminded, I am throughout the year, but I'm reminded that on the 28th, I will celebrate my 38 years, or I can't remember now, I've lost track. I've been so excited about serving Jesus for so long. It may be 40 years, I don't remember. But on the 28th, I celebrate my spiritual birthday, getting saved under that mobile home, all by myself, meeting Jesus under there. And the freedom He brought was not temporary, it's forever. We win wars all over the nation. We can go out and fight a battle and win a war, but does that mean that's the last of the wars? It's just temporary, correct? And in some countries, they get freedom and then they lose freedom. It becomes very temporary. But in Jesus Christ, it's not temporary. Your freedom is forever. Heaven's perspective was the Son of God is not coming so that you have temporary freedom. The Son of God is coming so that you'll have forever freedom. That's why Jesus came. It's this time of the year that I celebrate that freedom because I was so bound up. So in bondage, so lost, so lonely, didn't want to admit it. But in that moment, underneath that trailer, on December 28th, 1983, freedom came, and it has not been temporary. It will be forever. Heaven's third perspective, Jesus came to become Savior to a lost world. That has not changed. It's just the voice has changed. The church is Christ's ambassadors. We should be busy telling our Jesus stories. The world needs to hear from the church, not just from the pulpit, but from the church. And who's the church? It's us. We must get away from a building being the church. The building is a facility. It's a tool. You and I are the church. And we must remember that. Jesus came to give his life and then to leave us with the Holy Spirit to now become his ambassadors of his voice to a lost world. It hasn't changed. Heaven's fourth perspective was Jesus, the man, would die on a cross for our sins. You have to come to a place where you recognize and understand that what you're doing or not doing is wrong. If you're not doing the things God is telling you to do, that's wrong. And if you are doing things God said don't do, that's wrong. We have to come to a place where we understand that the life I'm living does not line up with the Word of God. So I need to make a change. I need to make a correction. In my life, there was no God in my life. I was God. I'm my own God. I had it all figured out. I don't need Jesus. I don't need God. I can get this done. And I wasn't doing a very good job of it. As I've said before, if Rochelle could have and got away with it without God being mad at her, she had taken out a contract on me, okay? Wasn't fun times. But in a moment, Jesus changed me forever. Because I accepted where I was. And the biggest thing I had to do was humble myself. And for me, that was huge. Humbling ourselves is the most important thing we could ever do. Jesus came not to beat you down. He came to lift you up. And underneath that mobile home, he simply said to me, if you'll just surrender, I'll change everything. And that's what I did. I have a pinned truth for you, pinned truths for our guests or things that I have learned, revelations I have received, or just things that came to me in prayer that I wrote down. I have a pinned truth. Although the disciples longed for Jesus to set up his kingdom to overcome the Romans, he had a much larger plan for the Jewish people and the world. Can I declare to you what that larger purpose was? For the people to come to know him and become the voice of Jesus in the world. That's the larger picture. Then we have to ask ourselves, church, are we voicing our Jesus stories to a lost world that is in desperate need of some light? And if we don't know Jesus, I'm telling you, it's not worth staying where you're at. It is worth every moment to humble yourself and let Jesus take over. It'll radically change your life. It'll radically change your family. And I don't say this to pat myself on the back. I say this to give testimony to Christ Jesus that as I stand here today, that my entire family is in church and serving the Father. God can do anything. There's nothing impossible to Christ. And for him, we just have to humble ourselves. And I want to give testimony of that tonight. I don't say it enough, and I should, what God has done. Another pinned truth, Jesus' love for the world compelled him to fulfill God's will for his life. His love for the world compelled him to fulfill his purpose for living, and that was to die for all of us. I'm going to challenge every Christian in the building that as you step into 2023, that you make a heart decision that you're going to do whatever's necessary, whatever you must do to fulfill the Father's will and live with a purpose of fulfilling the will of God for your life. 1 John 4:9 says, "In this the love of God was made manifest, displayed, where we are concerned, in that God sent His Son, the only begotten, our unique Son, into the world so that we might live through Him." One particular translation says, "so that we will be safe." So that we'll be safe. I will declare to you that living for Jesus is the safest place on planet Earth to live, is in the middle of the Father and for His kingdom. It is the safest place to be. "Well, Pastor, you must not ever have trouble." Oh, yes. I know trouble. It's Christmas Eve, and we had a water line break in the front yard. We had to shut our Christmas celebration down early because there's no bathrooms. You say, "Well, what's the big deal with that?" That can ruin an entire family's Christmas. But when you're centered in Jesus, you're safe. It's okay. It's not a big deal. We had fun anyway. We were already talking about getting jugs and filling up the commodes. I mean, you know, whatever. In the kingdom is life. And more abundantly. For those who will commit themselves to the will of the Father. It's so important. My final statement tonight I have penned. Does it matter that Jesus was born? Yes, it does. Without Jesus, we would live our lives in the dark without hope. Without Jesus, there wouldn't be a chance to be made right with God. Without Jesus, we would still stumble in the dark. I praise Him tonight that on December 28th, 1983, I stopped stumbling in the dark. Christmas matters because you matter to God. Jesus wants everyone saved. Everyone saved. He wants every person saved, and that will never change. He wants everyone saved. As Jaden and the team come up, I just want to lay these two things down tonight. According to what the Holy Spirit instructed me to do, I want to speak first to the church. Church, you are the light of the world. And the world's not going to know the light of Jesus if you don't start sharing your Jesus stories. You need to remember who you are. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right there where you're sitting, you don't have to be coaxed from this platform to give your life to Christ. Underneath the mobile home, on a winter similar to this, it was sleeting, it was 6 degrees outside, I'm underneath a mobile home trying to fix a water line for my wife and two baby girls, and I meet Jesus all by myself. You can meet Jesus right where you're sitting. But you have to make a decision. Do I still want to live in darkness, or do I want to step into a light that will dispel the darkness and change my life? I simply said, "Father, I don't know how you're going to fix this mess." I never called Him Father before. That was new coming out of my mouth. "I don't know how you're going to fix this mess, but I'm going to turn my life over to you. Would you come into my heart?" That's how simple it was. And my life changed forever. Would you bow your heads for a moment? I want to ask you to search your heart. and ask God, what do you need to do tonight? If you're a Christian, you need to commit to be in the light. If you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you to step into the light and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior.